In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the church, this is known as Good Shepherd Sunday, because on this fourth Sunday of the Easter season, we always read the passage where Jesus talks about his followers hearing his voice and knowing him and following him. The same way that sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and come to him because he cares for and protects them. As I was reading and preparing this for this passage, I remembered the children's ministry director who worked for me at my last church, St. Luke's. She would sometimes have the parents and children play this game she called the Good Shepherd game. In a large room like the parish hall or even an outside space, she would blindfold all the children and have them stand in the middle, and then spread parents out around the periphery and have them call their child's name all at the same time. The blindfolded kids would have to just listen for their parents' voice and work their way to them. Then she would reverse it, having the parents blindfolded and in the middle, with the kids around and calling out to their moms and dads, and the parents trying to follow the sound of their kids' voice to work their way to the right child amidst the cacophony of children's voices screaming out. The children were invariably better at it than the parents. I think there are a few reasons why that's true. The first is a practical one. Children were all calling out mom or dad for their parents' name, right? In my case, for example, I think it would be far easier for my kid to distinguish someone calling out Rowan, because it's pretty distinct, than to pick the right voice calling out dad in return. But there are deeper reasons too. I think that children have spent less time in the world listening to and responding to other voices. I have heard a lot of people, children and adults, calling out my name and responded to them. It's a normal thing to do in life. And finally, I think children are a little less self-conscious about playing such a game, being judged by those around and going where they need to go. I think all of these things are true in real life too. And it's why it can be harder for many of us as adults to simply distinguish Jesus' voice calling out to us in the world and follow him. We each have so many people, so many voices in the world calling out to us, wanting our attention, asking us to follow. They all seem to know our name, and many of them sound right. It can be your boss's voice telling you to work more. That's how you prove your worth, earn more, get promoted, have security, even if it comes at the cost of your health or your family. It could be your family's voice saying, I need you to stop what you are doing and pay attention to me right now, even if it comes at the cost of your time of prayer or quiet meditation and restoration, or any of the things that would make you thrive. It can be the voice of neighbors and peers saying that you need to earn more money to keep up appearances, lose more weight to fit into the right mold of society, or act differently to be considered socially acceptable, even if it comes at the cost of your sense of self-worth, your personal peace, your belief that you are worthy of love. As adults, most of us grow accustomed to listening to those voices and responding to them, even convincing ourselves that they are good, that they may be enough like the voice of God, that we should listen to them, that they might lead us to a desirable place. It's hard to be able to hear the quiet voice of Jesus telling us that we have done enough and it's okay to rest, that quietly praying is not wasting time, but actually doing something important. that you are worthy and beloved just as you are. All of those things that a good shepherd whispers to protect a sheep. We are all well practiced at answering other voices in the world, and they all seem to know our names and be loud and persistent. It takes work for us to get back to a place where we can recognize Jesus' voice above all others, can pick it out of the cacophony of noise around us, and have the self-confidence to unashamedly follow it. In the gospel story, the people in the crowd cry out to Jesus, "Tell us plainly, are you the Messiah?" It's a plea I can understand. Sometimes when I'm really contemplating something and praying about it, hoping for God's guidance, I get the suggestions of friends, the wisdom of the world, and my own thoughts about the situation all swirling around in my head. And I want to cry out, "God, just tell me plainly, which is your voice? Which thing do you want me to do? I want to follow, but it's so hard to tell right now which voice is yours." Jesus' answer to that crowd is pretty telling. He says to them, "Look at my actions, and you will know that I am the Messiah if you see that they line up with those of my Father." I think that's the same lesson that we have to learn. If we become familiar with how God has acted throughout history because we read the Scriptures, if we know how to talk to God and how to listen because we focused on praying frequently, if we practice doing the things that we have been taught are the way of God because the liturgy trains us to be followers of Christ, then it becomes a little easier to distinguish the voice of the shepherd among all the other voices. But it's a discipline that has to be cultivated over time. You have to practice following that voice. You have to know what his actions are. You have to spend time coming to recognize his voice among the crowd. It's being faithful in the small things, practicing listening to Jesus in the mundane and following his voice in the everyday that makes us able to recognize his voice when it is harder, when there are more competing interests and voices, when the pressure is greater. Obviously, I think that part of that practice is habitually praying and reading the Bible and other spiritual writings so that you can be practiced at knowing God. But here are two other exercises that I think will help you be able to distinguish the voice of Christ amongst all the competing claims on your life. The first is thinking about where you have seen and recognized God at work in the world before. Jesus is always calling you to where he already is, where he has been working, so that you can join in. So where have you seen and recognized Jesus before? Is it in seeking justice for the marginalized and advocating for the voiceless so that they can be heard? Is it in caring for the sick or sitting with the lonely so that they feel loved and in touch with community? Is it in cultivating life and growing things so that the earth can flourish as it was created to? Is it in helping restore hope to people who have no reason to dream anymore? Almost all of us can think of some example of where we have seen Christ already at work in the world, where we know the actions of God and can tell that it is Jesus working because it aligns with what we know about God. Think about what that is for you, because when there are too many things calling for your attention, follow the one that's leading you to the place you have seen Jesus working in the world before. The second exercise is to think about when you have heard the voice of God speaking good news to you personally. What did it say? How has God ever proclaimed the gospel to your heart? Is it in letting you know that you are not alone in some lonely period of your life? Was it in whispering to you that you were lovable and worthy of love when you felt worthless? Was it showing you that you could have faith in the coming of the light during some dark night of your soul? Most of us have some idea of what good news is, what Jesus is proclaiming to each of us, that animating force of our faith. Think about what that is for you. Because again, when you are having trouble hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, it will be the one whispering that familiar truth. How has Jesus spoken to you before? And what actions in the world do you clearly associate with Christ at work? Be crystal clear on those, because it will help you distinguish His voice in the future. It isn't easy to follow Jesus. There are so many claims on our lives, on our time, on our energies these days. So many voices calling out to us, and they all sound urgent, important, maybe even good. But they're not all life-giving. That's what the voice of the Good Shepherd does. He calls us to the place where our lives can thrive. Learning to pick out that voice and practicing having the courage to follow it, that is what so much of the Christian life is about. Amen.